You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast. This is episode 28, The Anatomy of a Great Blog Post. 9 things you can do today to improve your blogging. So yesterday on episode 27, we had a great time chatting with Ann Bogle from modernmrsdarcy.com. Ann is an excellent writer and an excellent blogger. She really does a great job writing compelling posts and keeping her readers engaged and keeping them coming back for more. I know anytime I visit modernmrsdarcy.com, I'm often caught up in reading post after post after post because Anne just keeps me so interested and engaged. So while some of this may be natural talent on Anne's part, I certainly think that she's very brilliant and she's a talented lady. Some of it involves some strategies that any blogger can use, whether you're brand new to this game or not. So I'm going to go over 9 of those strategies today, and I'm going to use Anne's blog, modernmrsdarcy.com, as our example piece to kind of showcase how some of these items will work. Without further ado, let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
So today I'll share with you 9 steps you can take today to help you craft that perfect blog post. Let me give you a rundown really quickly on what we're going to be reviewing. 1, focus on the 6 words in your title that matter the most and how to grab people's attention early on. 2, use very short paragraphs, oftentimes 2 to 4 sentences at the most. 3, pick a great header photo. 4, be sure that you're taking advantage of interlinking or linking between different posts and articles you've written that are related to the current blog post that you're writing. 5, link to other relevant resources such as websites that complement the opinion you're sharing or would be a helpful resource to your readers. 6, studies have shown that blog posts with 1,500 words, which actually is quite a lot for a blog post, but studies have shown that these posts get shared the most often because people find them to be the most helpful. They find all that extra information to be useful and they're more likely to share it. And in this way, Anne actually deviates from what the studies show, but I'll talk a little bit more about why she does that and why that still works. 7, make sure you use sharing buttons on every blog post. Put them at the bottom, put them on the side, use pin it buttons over your pictures, whatever you can do to compel people to share your post and share your information. 8, be sure to include a call to action at the end of your post. And 9, be sure to use the different heading fonts that are available within your blogging platform, such as H1 for the title, H2 for subtitles, and H3 for sub-subtitles. So I'll dive into these in a little bit more detail. I'm not going to go too dense because obviously 9 points is quite a lot to cover here. And in case you are crafting while you're listening, or you are doing housework, or you are just busy chasing a kid and trying to catch bits of advice while you do that, do not worry about trying to frantically scribble down notes, because the show notes for this episode and all of our episodes are at our blog. So for this episode, you can find the show notes at brilliantbusinessmoms.com/28. That's just a 2-8 there at the end. And I do make sure that I include every relevant point that I talk about. And oftentimes you'll find some bonuses over on the show notes because I may have discovered something else new or another great resource in the course of recording the podcast and then getting my show notes up. So I do highly recommend you go check show notes out because you might find some extra resources there. Okay, so point number 1. Studies show, and I'll link to the studies that show this in the show notes, but studies show that readers only pay attention to 6 words within your title or within the title of a book or whatever the case is. But in this instance, we're of course talking about blog posts. So either make your blog post title really short so that it's only 6 words or less, in which case people will pay attention to every single word, such as Anne Bogle does a great job of this on modernmrsdarcy.com. She describes herself as a maximizer, meaning she wants to communicate as much information in as little words as possible. And she really does a great job with this. So one of her blog titles, for example, is Blowing My Mind Lately. So this is only 4 words long. So you're going to pay attention to all those words. Not to mention, I'm pretty intrigued, like, blowing your mind? Okay, what is this? What, I have to know what's been blowing your mind. I mean, that's crazy. Another example of a really short blog post title from Anne is Angry Cleaning. Again, I love the fact that with this title, I'm kind of intrigued, like, angry cleaning, what's going on over there? It's kind of making me think about what emotions go on when I'm cleaning, like, how's Anne feeling? What's going on in her life that's making her angry clean? And especially I think as a female, I'm drawn to anything that's talking about emotions. So I make that instant connection. I'm instantly curious, and it's instantly evoking some emotions in me. And so I'm going to check out that blog post. But let's say your blog post title is longer than 6 words. Well, what the brain actually does is it pays attention to the first 3 words of your post and then the last 3 words of your post. So make sure in the first 3 words of your post, you always want to be focusing on that keyword or keyword phrase that you're targeting, because Google cares a lot about that as well. So use those big killer keywords in the first 3 words of your post title. And then the last 3 words, you want to sum it up. You want something else that's going to compel them to keep listening. In the course of researching for this podcast, I actually discovered that, wow, we could do multiple podcasts and blog posts just about writing a killer title for your blog post. I mean, this in and of itself, there are formulas for this. There are a bazillion different ways you could take this, different emotions to convey, different things you want to evoke in your readers to keep them interested. So I'm not going to dig into this any further because this is a whole nother podcast in and of itself. But just keep in mind that there's only 6 words that are really going to matter in that blog title, and you want to grab your reader's attention, have them curious, have them interested, have them connected to you right off the bat. Oh, one more tip on the title is numbers. People do love numbers in the title, like such as 9 ways to improve your blogging or your blog posts. 2 examples of Anne using this in her titles are 13 thoughts on taking the colored bookshelf plunge, which at first I'm thinking if Anne had just titled this post colored bookshelf plunge, I would have been like, yeah, whatever. Okay, it's another like home decor DIY project. Everyone has a colored bookshelf these days. Who cares? But when she starts it off by saying 13 thoughts, all of a sudden I'm really interested. I'm wondering, is it even possible to have 13 thoughts on having a colored bookshelf? Who has this many thoughts on a colored bookshelf? Like, what are you thinking? What is going on in your head that makes you have this many thoughts about it? So honestly, I was intrigued and of course had to go read the post. And then another example of numbers, she has a post titled $3 Lipstick and Overcoming Perfectionism. Again, I'm really intrigued. I think part of it is the number catches me, but also the fact that she's pairing this affordable lipstick with perfectionism. And so I'm wondering, how do the two relate? What's going on here? So that's point one. Anne does a great job with her titles, but pay attention to those 6 words, your first 3, your last 3, or make your blog post title less than 6 words. Tip 2, use short paragraphs. We are not writing a great American novel here. We are blogging, and online, people expect things to be extremely easy to read. So really, a 1-sentence paragraph to start is perfect because you want your intro to be really short and sweet and compelling. And after that, you really only want 2 to 4 sentences tops, really 4 sentences at the most for your paragraphs, because if this breaks your post down, it makes it much easier for readers to read. And anytime something is easier to read, it makes your readers happy. It makes their eyes and their brains happy. And trust me, they'll read more of what you're writing. Okay, so tip number 3, you have to have a header photo in your blog post. I will say, I think this is one thing that mom bloggers in general, we do a much better job with this than many of the male bloggers out there. Something about the visual side of our brains, the creative side, most mom bloggers I know are doing a great job with their header photos, but just keep that in mind, the fact that it does matter. And you know what else? The great thing about the header photo is that you can put a title and a description behind that header photo, and then those are all sorts of keywords you can put in there that Google will pick up on when Google crawls your site. So the header photo is also a chance to include a lot more instances of your keyword. So take advantage of that. And Anne does a great job with header photos. Another way, along with the short paragraphs, that you can make your blog posts easier to read is to incorporate photos throughout the blog post. And Anne does really well with this too, especially on her fashion posts that she writes. She often will have multiple pictures interspersed, but almost all of her blog posts, even the really short, sweet, and simple posts, she has at least two photos, if not three or four. Number four, interlinking between your posts. This is so important. I know it's hard as a brand new blogger. You're thinking, okay, I've only written two other posts. How am I going to interlink? But see if you can do it. And then I do suggest, and this is what Sarah and I are currently doing, because we've only had our Brilliant Business Moms website for 2 months now, actually less than 2 months. And so we don't have that many posts yet, but it is getting to the point where we can start to link between them. And so anytime we are talking about something, writing about something that's related to another topic we've discussed, you always want to mention that within the blog post. The other important thing about interlinking is use those keywords that you are trying to rank for with that blog post. So if I am trying to rank for Etsy SEO tips, then if I have an interview where I'm talking with an Etsy seller, but I also want to briefly mention and link to my podcast on SEO tips for Etsy sellers, then that link, I will make the link, the words that are hyperlinked, be Etsy SEO tips. So essentially then Google sees that as a vote for that post and gives you a thumbs up or whatever you want to say for that keyword Etsy SEO tips. So a lot of times I'll see bloggers who just say, grab my post on XYZ here, and then here is hyperlinked. Don't do that. The only reason you'd want to do that is if you don't want to give a vote for that site or your own article. So I don't know why you would want to do that. So go ahead and use keywords you're trying to target when you interlink. Anne does an amazing job of interlinking. I'll link actually in the show notes to some of her blog posts where she does amazing at this. But actually every month she does a What I'm Into edition, and it's made up of several different parts, but she'll say what she's currently doing in her own life. And of course, she's always got different blog posts for that month that kind of talk about what's been going on in her life, in her family's life. So she'll link to those. And then she also shares what she's pinning on Pinterest and the best of the web. And those actually go along with tip five, which is including links to other sites and sites that have helpful resources for your readers or things you think they'll want to know about. So this is important too. Google actually likes this as well. Now, if you don't want to give that site a vote in terms of their SEO, which to me, I say, if you're going to link to that site, you should give them a vote. I mean, you're taking advantage of their helpful resource. So go ahead and give them a vote and give them a nice keyword that links to them. I suppose the only reason you wouldn't want to do that is if that site has something you don't agree with and you're simply linking to it to show people what not to do. Then I suppose don't give them a vote. Just say, click here. But yeah, Anne does a great job of linking to other sites with helpful information. Okay, then tip number six, which I've heard many SEO experts talk about this, is that 1,500 words for a blog post is actually the sweet spot for people sharing your information and reading it fully and engaging with it. And you know what else? Google actually really likes long blog posts because they, well, okay, first of all, if you have a longer post, then there's more chances to sprinkle in those keywords that you're trying to target. But number two, longer posts tend to be more helpful. They tend to be more information packed, and Google also likes that as well. Google wants to share relevant sites that are helpful to readers. Now, Anne deviates from this. Many of her posts are very short. She has many that are 300 words. Most of her posts are under 500 words, but here's where you can deviate. And really, you can deviate on lots of points about blogging advice. You need to know your audience and you need to know yourself. And Anne loves to convey as much information with as little words as possible. That's her style, and she is really skilled at this. Not many of us are. I am not, for sure. I am not good at using few words. So Anne's writing style is resonating with her readers, and they're staying on her website for a long time because they're clicking to all of the other resources and posts that she's linked to within each blog post. And so really, Anne doesn't need to utilize that 1500 word tip in order to get shares, in order to get engagement, in order to get people to stay on her website. She's already accomplishing that with the other things that I just mentioned. So there are instances where, you know what, blogging is not a formula. You don't have to follow every single tip that you've ever seen ever on blogging. You do have to be true to yourself, be true to your readership, and find what works. So this is one where Anne deviates, but I personally do think as a new blogger for us, I do want to write those 1500 word blog posts because I want to be as helpful as possible, provide as much helpful business advice as possible, and I also want Google to give us some love. Okay, so number 7, include sharing buttons. This is so important. Just make it as easy as possible for others to share your work. And Anne, of course, does this very well. And she has them at the bottom of each post. She has pin-it buttons on her photos. So good job, Anne. Number 8, you want to include a call to action at the end of your post. Now, for most of us, this will look like asking a question related to that information you just wrote and asking people to talk about it in the comments, kind of posing it as, what do you think? Do you agree? Do you have a TV in your home? What's your policy regarding TV and your kids? I'd love to hear about it in the comments. So that's an example of something similar to what Anne has put at the end of one of her blog posts on why they didn't have a TV for 8 years, but now they do. But your call to action doesn't have to be just that people leave a comment. You could tell them, if you're planning on doing this fun activity with your kids, why not go ahead and pin it? Or if you are doing a contest or a challenge, you might say, hey, post in the comments with your answer or your response, your entry for the contest. And another example might be, maybe within that post, you've actually just come out with an ebook or you are selling some sort of product. So then your call to action might look different. It might look like a, hey, click here to find out more about this product or take you to the checkout page. And then one final example would be perhaps rather than getting comments on the blog, you have a really great resource that pairs well with that blog post. So you're going to tell them, hey, if you want more information on this topic, just click the box, sign up for the newsletter, and a free PDF with this amazing resource is coming your way. Tip 9, make sure you're utilizing the header fonts within your blogging platform. So this would be the H1 tags, H2 tags, and H3 tags. And I have to say, Sarah and I have not done a good job of utilizing these yet, but after learning all about the anatomy of a great blog post, I am starting this today. So apparently this matters a lot for Google as well. Google really likes it when you use those different header tags because then it lets Google know what are the most important words within your blog post. What do you want Google to pay attention to? And then the other reason why these header tags are so important is because it makes your blog post more readable. Along with that, things like bullets, numbered lists, these can also make your blog post more readable. That's just a bonus tip, I guess, there. But with the header font, so H1 should be just for your blog title. And then H2 is for your subtitles, like those main sections. And you might have, you know, several short little paragraphs within each section. And then the H3 tag would be for subtitles. Another thing you can do is like bolded sections, block quotes, take one section and make it just one line that stands out, maybe bold or italicize that line. So these are all things that you can do to make your blog post easier to read. But the header fonts really are important because of the search engine factor as well. So it's not just about the easy readability that is important, but Google really cares about those H1, H2, and H3 tags. So please use them. And when you do use them, make sure that they have those big important keywords that you're trying to rank for because it will help. Google will notice those big keywords within the H2, H3 tags and will give you more votes. So those are the 9 tips on improving your blog post today. This is also the anatomy of a great blog post. These are all the things you want to make sure you include within each blog post. So I hope you enjoyed them. If you have any questions at all, please send us an email, brilliantbusinessmoms@gmail.com. If you love the podcast, I'd love it if you'd let us know about it. So you can head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/love. And let me do a quick rundown of the 9 tips again so you don't forget them and you can start using them today. 1, the 6 words in your title that matter the most, which are the first 3 and the last 3. 2, use short paragraphs. 3, use a header photo and photos throughout your post. 4, make sure you're interlinking between your blog posts to other relevant posts and content that you've written. 5, link to other sites that have relevant resources for your readers. 6, try to hit that 1500 word sweet spot. Be super helpful, be super informative, and compel your readers to be sharing that information. 7, make sure you include sharing buttons on your post. 8, don't forget a call to action at the end of your blog post. And 9, make sure you are utilizing the different header fonts within your blogging platform, such as H1, H2, and H3 tags. That's it for today. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.